Brian Mazurowski, Joe Beamer. Joe Kelly is behind the glass. I'm outnumbered by Joe's today. What's going on?
It's the day of Joe, Brian. It's going good. I'm fully rested. It's hump day. College football officially starts tomorrow. I can't
do that.
What do you mean?
Because you said last week that it officially started last week.
Well, it was week zero. You know, you had five games.
Yeah, but you already used it up.
Okay.
You used it up.
So the second start of college football.
Okay.
Big,
you can do that.
Big day tomorrow. So I'm just excited for my favorite time of year to be here. And, you know, as much as I loved the warmer temperatures, I am looking forward to a bit of a cool down and the smell of fall.
I said yesterday, it's too blank hot outside.
Oh, I thought it was perfect. That was a perfect summer day.
No.
Yes.
It's hot. It's too hot.
Be outside.
I was outside.
Yes.
It was hot there.
Perfect.
It's hot. Too hot. It was perfect the other week. It was like 70 that one day.
Yeah, I loved it yesterday.
That was nice. It was too hot.
I enjoyed being outside.
You know what I do at the beginning of summer every day? And we have like a one like really hot day. I go, you will not hear me complaining about the heat. We get too few hot days around Buffalo.
That's right.
I won't complain about the heat. That lasts like 2 weeks. And then I'll complain about the heat.
Yeah.
I'll go full.
And then a few months, you'll be complaining about the cold.
I don't think I do.
I do.
I think the only time I've ever complained about the cold was that one February where we never got like above 10 degrees.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the day that we all had to wear our jackets and gloves.
The only time I'll ever complain about the cold outside.
Oh, okay.
Let me rephrase that. If it's cold inside, I think you got, you know, carte blanche to complain about it not being room temperature. The cold outside, I think the only time I ever did it was that at the end of that February when it was like 12 and our warmest day of the month, I think I remember being like, this is brutal.
When I have to switch to a heavier coat and I have to put boots on and I have to heat up my car, that's when I'm going to start complaining. Again, I love Christmas, you know that, but man, I do not like all the steps of getting ready. Like, it adds 15 minutes to your day.
Have you always had, you know, the big coat for...
Oh, yeah.
The big...
You get one big coat.
You know, it's funny. I was looking at a picture. It's hanging on our wall, my wife and I, when we were much younger. And I was... It wasn't until, I mean, maybe like 15... Probably when I really started working here and you're outside in the cold, like all winter long, you know, doing things, holding a microphone and you having to kind of brave the elements a little bit. I was always too cool for a big winter coat.
Oh, no. I was probably the first to put the big winter coat on because it would get, you know, for me, it'd be like, it's 40. Yeah, I need the big winter coat.
I wouldn't do it. It's like, whatever. I'm not a nerd here. I'm not going to wear the big winter coat. I got to look cool.
The only place I won't, which is I know is counterproductive, is at the stadium because I want to have the Bill stuff on the outside unless it's a big Bill's winter coat.
That's crazy,
yeah,
right?
I mean, I'm not saying it's a sane take, but like for me, like I'll put the 8 layers on just so the Bill's jersey can be the top layer.
I have a special Bill's coat can have a huge Bill's coat on or something like that.
That's what I got. That's got to be my goal this year, to get the big Bill's winter coat.
I mentioned yesterday the crazy email that I got about how, you know, all these surveys and different things they do are nuts. I got another email today. Joe, what do you think about this? We're being offered an interview for Disney on Ice.
Oh,
I say
that is crazy.
It's only somebody in character.
Yes.
What Disney character would be the best interview?
That's a great question. I mean, I grew up with Winnie the Pooh, but I don't even know if Winnie the Pooh's on ice. So that might be...
Would he be the best interview?
For me, because I grew up... I mean, Winnie the Pooh was my favorite.
But is he like the most interesting person to talk to, really?
No, but that would just be my selection. I don't know who the most interesting Disney... Would it be Mickey Mouse?
Winnie the Pooh would just be like, hey, what's going on, man? But I'm hungry.
But then we could ask about the new movie that came out and ask, you know, Winnie, what happened? Why did you go after Christopher Robbins like that?
I don't no, that doesn't go in like the that's not a Disney movie though. you're talking to the Disney version, right?
Yeah.
Of all this.
Who would you want to talk to?
You know, I was trying to think. There's a lot of good ones. I feel like Woody from Toy Story. That would be a good interview. Like, if you could sit him down and be like, what? So, how does this whole thing work? Like, no one's ever picked up on you moving things around, you know, just playing dead. when everyone walks into the room.
You're on top of the bed, now you're in the corner.
Yeah, like what's up with that? No one's ever questioned it or anything.
I mean, in the first movie, you talked to Sid. He didn't blow all you guys in?
Yeah. You're running around town.
Yeah.
No one ever notices?
That's a good question.
Toys on the street. Driving around. Like, what's going on there?
I'd like to
tell you. I feel like he'd be an interesting one.
I think Woody would be interesting. I'd like to have Woody and Buzz, but if we only have one, I guess Woody would be he's been the toy the longest.
Like, Buzz is still confused. Isn't that the whole idea?
Yeah,
Buzz. Like, he's still kind of
trying to get back to space.
Yeah. A little bit of a blockhead.
Yeah.
If you want a media-trained option, Lightning McQueen, athlete speak, you can get out of him.
That's true. I don't know if I want the media-trained thing, the car. From Cars?
Oh, I'm not a Cars guy.
Never saw Cars?
Never saw Cars.
Well, so you're, how old are you?
I grew up in that movie. I was born in 2002.
Yeah, okay, well, there's your problem.
You got the youngin' on the other side of the glass.
there's your problem there. That was like at the edge of our, like if you went to see Cars and were like 10 years older than you, you know, it's a little weird.
Yeah, unless you had like a younger sibling.
Yeah,
and or you a took date. Them. A date?
Yeah, like she wanted to see Cars or something.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, I'll see whatever you want.
That's true.
whatever.
I don't know why I questioned that. In college, my girl I was seeing.
Yeah, Joe, you see one.
Yeah. When I was in college, a girl I was seeing wanted to go see High School Musical 3 in the theater, so I have no...
Right, exactly. Like, I mean, that's just, it's what you would do.
We're the oldest people in here.
So I thought this was interesting because it comes on the heels of something that I read the other week. You know, Disney had this big fan conference, like their own, like a Disney Comic Con or something.
In Orlando?
They called it the D23. I don't know where it was.
Okay.
But I was reading something on this because the title was, Is Generation Z Done with Disney? The company's recent fan convention conspicuously lacking in young people, which is, right? Like, what you think of Disney. It's for kids.
It's, well, yeah, unfortunately.
Right? Not anymore.
See, that doesn't surprise me. Because they grew up with their parents going on solo trips to Disney World without the kids.
That's what it's like right now. That this is kind of saying that, you know, you look around at all the different, the Toy Story panel, the lines were way long as opposed to some of the newer movies. And it's people who are 25, 35, 40 years old who are geeking out over all the Disney stuff. And, you know, you go to look at what's in the parks and they're building all the Star Wars things and, you know, looking at all these other movies, you look at the streaming platform and it's people, who's really watching this stuff nowadays? And it's like more and more of a focus on the term that I love, the Disney adult.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that's what's funding Disney, right? I mean, again... You love what you love. I love going to college football games, so you can make fun of me all you want. But, I mean, you look at people who are going to Disney World, and it is people without their kids making week-long trips to Orlando, to Anaheim. And you're right, Brian. I mean, look at the movie franchises. Toy Story came out when I was 8. They're still making new Toy Story movies.
They announced Toy Story 5 at this convention.
Yeah. I mean, so is it, it might be a little bit of both, right? It might be the adults... loving Disney into their 40s and 50s, and Disney hanging on to the older, I mean, their bigger movies are the older franchises. Star Wars, Toy Story, Cars, even now, Joe, is an older movie. It's an older franchise. Really, the only successful thing that I know of, and that's because we sold the merchandise at Bed Bath & Beyond, is Frozen. But that's like the most successful newer Disney franchise.
Yeah, that's been a big one. Do you know any Disney adults? Like, what's going on there? Maybe you are one. Let us know. 803-0930. We'll go to the phones. Patrick in Lancaster. You're on WBEM. Patrick, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Hey, now, I've just called in. I've never called in before, but Cars, Toy Story, and Winnie the Pooh, all three of those are not Disney movies.
But they are.
I thought they were.
They're Pixar. They're they're Pixar. You got to go with the classics like The Lion King. Interview Simba.
What am I going to hear from the lion? He was told to not worry. He's been sitting back eating berries with the pig and the, you know, dog that he refuses to eat. You know,
you're going to hear better than Winnie the Pooh.
But, hey, listen, that was not my suggestion, Patrick.
All right, I'm sorry. I thought the whole point of loving Disney was, you know, you find your inner child. I, as a child, loved the series Winnie the Pooh.
So interview Christopher Robin ask him about being a kid.
I might.
I like it. All right, Patrick, thank you. They are all in the Disney. Disney owns all of them.
Yeah, okay. But, I mean, Pixar is a Disney studio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They release all the Pixar movies. They, you know, the Winnie the Pooh that everybody knows is Disney,
That's
even though
Disney.
Winnie the Pooh isn't.
Yeah.
Of all the Winnie the Pooh characters, I like the rabbit the most.
The rabbit's the one I can't remember the name.
It's a rabbit.
Is that just...
I think it's just rabbit.
Rabbit?
At least, I don't know. I didn't realize Winnie the Pooh.
Not a Winnie the Pooh? Oh, Tigger and Eeyore and Piglet.
I mean, I know them, but yeah. I didn't watch a lot. I like the rabbit. The rabbit was kind of a grouch.
Yeah.
He's like, what are you doing? Just like, come on, can I eat my food in peace?
But the older you get, you realize that everyone has an Eeyore in their life.
Or five.
But you find that.
Or five. 803-0930. Do you know any of these Disney adults? And, you know, who should we interview? Disney on Ice wants to give us an interview. What's the Disney character that we're interviewing? The Disney adult thing, it's strange to me how, like, something... I guess it's not strange. Like, everybody kind of likes that. Everybody has the nostalgia. But there's a point where it goes from nostalgia or, like, that's nice. Like, I'll watch a movie with my kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, say, like, oh, that was cool. Yeah, that was fine. It's not made for me, but, like, oh, that was a nice movie. Like, a lot of movies for kids are made with the thought that an adult is going to be watching it with them.
Well, I'm going to be brutally honest. There are a lot of old Disney movies that my wife and I will find on a streaming platform and watch, right? Home Alone, now, under the Disney umbrella. That's a movie we watch probably once a week in our house, okay? On in the background. We don't sit and watch it. We don't have that much time. But, you know, a lot of the older movies, some of the Disney Channel original movies, yeah, I'll watch that for nostalgia. But you look at the Disney streaming platform, Disney Plus, and notice how many adult movies and shows have been put on that platform. And I think, Brian, it is a result of, well, adults were already on there watching their old Disney favorites. Why not throw, the movies that Disney now has the rights to under the 21st Century Fox thing?
The texts are coming in of how you know it. I go, all right, we'll go through a couple of these here. One, Disney adults are so creepy. It's not to say I don't like the movies here and there, but if you don't have kids and you plan the Disney trip every year, yikes, says one. Somebody else says, I'm one. I never went without my child until he was in college. Then we went together on one of his breaks because I felt so guilty. Somebody else I know, two 50-year-old women completely obsessed. They even have the Minnie Mouse dress. And when you're going out dressed like that, you're taking it to the next level.
Yeah. Well, I mean, last time I went to Disney World, I was 20. I was 21. And I went to just Blizzard Beach and then continued driving. It was fun. But, like, I just... Well, as an adult, like, you just hang around Epcot and do the tour of beer? Like, what do you do at Disney World?
Well, that's the thing. Like, that, to me, that's the big thing. So, another text in here. I'm 57. My husband's 60. We love it. We stream a little of... whatever. I don't know what this is that they're streaming. But our house has a lot of Disney stuff in it. I'm assuming they're going to Disney too. The thing is, like, the big question is, like, it's not that an adult can't enjoy Disney.
Right.
If you go to the theme park with your kids, it's a lot of cool stuff like that they built. It's like, whoa, that's crazy. The movies, again, they're popular for a reason. They're not bad movies. They're made so that an adult can sit through them with their kids.
Exactly.
But I just feel, I guess it comes to the greater question. Like, is there a point in time where you sit there and go, like, hey, maybe I should, you know, try something made for adults.
Yeah.
Right, like if you're your idea of entertainment all the time is to cycle back to a movie made for 7-year-olds, does it say something about you? Which is not to say that you can't enjoy it, but for the people who are hyper obsessed all about it all the time, like, is there a red flag at all? You're going on a date and you find out that the person you're dating just got off a Disney cruise.
Yeah.
Are you
That's a red
going
flag.
Like, huh? Like, explain a little bit more to me.
Right.
Why not Carnival? You know, like, is there a reason behind this? Are you asking a few questions?
Yeah, I think, I mean, you go on a Disney cruise by yourself. I mean, number one, I just don't know why you'd spend the money. But yeah, I mean, that's to me, hey, I think it's fine to turn the TV on, watch a movie that reminds you of your childhood and reminds you, hey, I used to love watching the famous Jet Jackson. That's fine. But making regular trips to Disney World, a place that's meant for kids, I just don't get it. And again, I would go to Vegas on every trip if I could, right? So I'm not one. I don't get the obsession with adults, but I do think it is taking away. Mom and Dad go to Disney World all the time. You know what I'm not going to do? Watch Disney. Like, that's
why. But that's the reason young people are turning away, because it's their parents' favorite pastime.
Why are less young people on Facebook? Well, because Mom and Dad are on Facebook, yeah. And my grandparents are on Facebook. I think that plays into it.
You don't want to watch a movie if Mom and Dad are going to be like, oh, let me pop some popcorn and sit right next to you.
I mean, that might have something to do. But I do think it's like, look at all these trips of Mom and Dad at the Disney theme parks. And that seems a little too grown up. You know, I'm gonna watch South Park instead. You know what I mean? Like, I do think that plays into it. And Disney holding on to the older franchises definitely, I think, turns away some younger people.
Okay. Well, hey, it's out there. If you are one, you know one, let us know. 803-0930.
By the way, they serve Disney alcohol on Disney cruises. Okay, I get that. They also serve alcohol at Chuck E. Cheese, but I'm not going there by myself.
Yes. That's it. That is it. I mean, that's the point,
yeah,
in a nutshell. Yeah, I mean, come on. 803-0930 to join us here on WBN. A couple of poll numbers are out, too. You know, maybe your financial regret would be making that expensive trip.
Yes. That's another thing.
Maybe it wouldn't be. Maybe it wouldn't be. You know, maybe it's worth it at the end of the day. And a good vacation could be worth it. Lasting memories. Everyone remembers when they go. Anyways, a new report shows that 77% have a financial regret in America. I think that number's not high enough.
Yeah. I would say every person has at least one thing in their life that was a financial regret.
It doesn't have to be huge, right? It doesn't have to be big. Top regrets are not saving for retirement early enough, not saving enough for emergencies, right? It, you know, relieves over savings and things like that. But I think everybody's got, maybe I shouldn't have bought that.
Yeah, I mean, I have little regrets all the time like that, right? I do have the major regret, and I talk about it all the time, the PT Loser. That was such a bad car, I had to roll the loan into another car because it didn't last the loan. That was a regret. That was money spent that I did not get the money out of.
Yeah, that's a lesson learned. That's worse than mine, of buying toys when I was a kid when I wish I didn't.
But, yeah.
But that could be yours. And then some other numbers that we found pretty interesting, all in the latest polls that we're talking about. Your comments and texts as well. 803-0930, BMAZ and Beamer on WBEN. Brian Masrowski, Joe Beamer, back with you on WBEN. Hope everyone's having a nice one out there, talking about a number of things, including the trip to Disney as an adult. Which, there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
But then at some point, it crosses the line to being a notorious Disney adult.
Yeah, I don't want to. Hey, you do what you want to do. If that is what your fun is, I mean, I've seen the prices of Disney trips. It is cheaper to go to Vegas. But if that's what is fun for you, fine. I don't get it.
And that's coming from a man with a turkey magnet on his car.
That's right.
We'll go to Cece in Depew. Cece, you're on WBEN. How's it going?
Hi, guys. So I think the whole, like, Disney adult thing is a little creepy unless you've actually done it. There's so many things that are just geared towards adults that Disney World puts on. You don't even have to go to the parks. You know, I just celebrated a significant birthday there with some friends. We didn't go to the parks. We went to all the hotels and had some drinks and ended with a divine dinner. You know, the food there is amazing, too. So really, you know, until you actually go without kids, it may seem like you're just going as if you have these invisible kids waiting in line for characters and getting on all the rides. And that's really not it at all. Not for me.
Then what is it? What's the draw? Why Disney instead of something else?
So, I think for me, it is a family thing. Our family, you know, grew up with Disney. It was that whole Sunday evening. You had to clean up after dinner and shower or take a bath before you could sit down and watch Walt Disney introduce, you know, that evening's movie or, you know, the world of Disney. So definitely it was something, you know, I grew up with. I didn't grow up going to the parks. I went for the first time in college. But I have taken my kids their entire lifetimes, you know, to the parks as well. But now it's a different speed. Now it's, we're going for drinks. We're going for the adult Christmas party at Hollywood Studios. We're going for the food and wine festival at Epcot. And if we mix in a couple rides, you know, that's cool too. But that's not the focus anymore. You know, I'm not walking down Main Street crying like some people think all these Disney adults do.
Cece, let me ask you.
True.
You know, so the focus is on the park, but is it the city of Orlando as well, or is it really just focused on the park? You mentioned Epcot and Hollywood Studios, but, I mean, are there parts of Orlando that are more adult-friendly?
So you don't want me to say this. Yes, Universal Studios, so I do that too.
What's the best part of Universal Studios?
Their pools.
Okay. I can't.
Their pools, yeah, barside service, and, you know, a couple of their rides, too. It's just, it's kind of like safe, compact fun where you're not out going from restaurant to bar to beach, driving around. You don't have to worry about having drinks because there's transportation provided.
Right. Interesting.
And the food is amazing.
Now, you mentioned, you know, you're not crying down Main Street in Disney, and that's the image that some people might. Do you think this whole thing is a big misunderstanding? And what I'm getting at is, are you just saying that Disney adult gets a bad name from, let's say, like 40-year-olds that you might see who are collecting all the stuffed animals and absolutely need to have them?
Yeah, so that is, you know, definitely a little much. But this Disney adult, definitely way cooler than that.
Right. Hey, Cece, thanks for the call. Cece in Depew. I still think, like, that doesn't sound like a Disney adult to me.
So what's the difference between your image of a Disney, or not image, your thought of a Disney adult?
Like, I don't think, maybe we scale it back a little bit. Like somebody going, you know, going out to the Disney parks, even if you do go once a year, we'll say, and enjoying because there's cool stuff to see and whatever, maybe that doesn't fit the bill. Now, if you're going there and you're doing cool stuff and you're all wearing matching Mickey ears and T-shirts, okay, we've crossed the line.
Yes.
If you're like collecting little Donald Ducks and you have them all over, you know, your living room,
you've crossed the line.
I think that's a little, like, right? Like, there's a...
When your house has become Disney World?
Yeah, and then if you sit down to watch a movie or go, and the only thing you'll put on is a cartoon.
Yeah.
And you're 50 years old.
Yeah, we've crossed the line.
I think that's...
I forgot about Universal Studios.
That has The Simpsons.
Interestingly enough, because The Simpsons are now a...
Now they own... Now they're owned
Disney
by Disney.
Property. Yeah.
But that had The Simpsons. You can go to like Moe's Tavern and stuff, which is like, it's cool to see. It's cool to walk through.
That's adult.
Yeah. Well, I watch more Simpsons as a kid than I do now.
That's a very true statement, but I thought I was watching an adult show when I was a kid.
Yeah. You did, but Really? You're still watching a cartoon at the end
of the day.
I watched
more Simpsons and South Park.
Yeah.
When I was...
That's everybody says, oh, if you're an adult, you watch South... But let's be real. I watched more South Park when I was 11 years old than I ever will now. Because I'm not sitting down watching cartoons. That's just how it is. Maybe that's it. Like on the text board, someone said, Disney adults are freaks. A lot of places I'd rather go on vacation than to Mickey Mouse Land. Again, I could see the appeal of going there, even with the price tag. I just think if you cross a line, then it becomes a little into an obsession.
Yes. We've all seen the line crossed.
But then, you know, who are we to talk? I'm sitting here wearing my Sabres hat.
Yeah.
You're wearing your Virginia Tech shirt.
I drive 7.5 hours multiple times a year.
I don't drive 7 hours, but...
Yeah. Yeah, maybe we're freaks. Maybe I'm a freak. I don't know.
I don't think... There's a maybe with everyone's got their own thing.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
And you know what? A majority of people wouldn't understand it. And that's fine.
Yeah. Did you see the new Jumbotron? The pictures?
I thought of you instantly.
Yeah. I'm glad. I'm glad you did.
I saw the Sabres put those pictures out. It's not hanging yet, but I did see the...
You got to be careful.
Yeah, I'm very careful.
Don't test the ropes first. We don't want to repeat.
All new equipment. Isn't that funny? That's two Jumbotrons ago, and they're still...
It's still talking about it. You drop one Jumbotron, we never forget it.
That's right.
We never forget it, and you will not live that down. But, you know, be careful with that thing.
Yeah.
Looks expensive.
Looks very nice.
Does it?
Well, I didn't see it on.
Here's the thing about, like, all the new things. Lacks character.
It does.
Used to be able to... Because in an arena, a hockey arena, it's not like a baseball park or even a football stadium where you could tell by looking, you know, you throw me a snapshot of it and I can tell you where that is.
Right.
Yes. Like it's very different. Hockey arenas are tough to do so. The Jumbotron was like the one thing that you could tell, oh, all right, I know I'm here, I know I'm there.
Yep.
Like now all the teams, they just have this big, you know, it's like it looks like a big black TV.
Yeah.
Hanging in the middle. Like, there's nothing that makes it special from one to the other.
It's a curved TV.
Yeah, which they don't sell in the stores anymore.
No, I don't think those took off.
They stopped selling them right at the time when I would have bought one.
So you were looking for the curved TV?
Yeah. Oh. My TV is in a corner.
Oh, that's
true. I could have squeezed a couple more inches out of that thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, they don't make them anymore.
No, just for arenas.
This is curved the other way. But you know what I'm saying? Like, we're just like... tearing away some of the unique little things that they got going on.
I didn't think of that, but you're right. I mean, there was a time when a team would score, the Jumbotron, it's not just Buffalo, they would show, you know, they would pan out from the Jumbotron because that had some character to it. But you're right, now it's all these rectangular things that go curve all the way around.
If it has smoke when we score, all will be forgiven.
That'd be great.
That would be great. We need that again. But, you know, if it doesn't, it's just kind of like everything.
Didn't this Jumbotron, when they first put it in, have smoke?
Yeah.
That's what I
had
thought.
Out of the slug.
Yeah, okay, well, so not crazy.
Yeah, out of the slug, yeah.
Would have been the slug, yeah.
And they've done it before. They've done it sometimes. When they had 90s night a couple of years ago, they did it. It's like a special one-off. And then last year, they showed a video of the old board doing the smoke.
Yeah.
On the
well, they were already getting rid of this one, so.
My favorite thing. You have, we're talking about some of the surveys, right? You had another survey. You're in for David in just a few minutes here.
Yes.
You had another survey. It's one of the things you're going to be talking about.
Yeah, now this survey has to do with, David touched on this a little bit yesterday, but I'm surprised by this. So a poll says half of Gen Z workers would quit over political differences. A new poll finds that half of workers under the age of 35, Brian, so that's younger than me, you're in this survey, say they'd quit their jobs over political differences. 60% say they prefer to work at a company with a CEO that shares their political beliefs and values, and 32% said they'd quit on the spot if their boss said something they don't agree with. That's crazy.
Here's my issue with that. They won't.
Yeah, I'd like to see statistics, right? Like someone actually leaving. That would be that's the survey I want to see. You've actually left your job because your direct manager had a MAGA mug when they were coming to your office.
Like that push comes to shove. Like it's easy to say something. It's a lot harder to actually do something.
Yes.
No, you won't.
No.
You got a nice job. You're just doing your work. All right. You got a family to feed, or maybe you don't. Everyone's got bills to pay. And, you know, somebody says, I can't stand whoever. And you're just going to walk out right there? I'm calling you know what on that one.
Unless, now, it says under 35. So unless this is a job that you're already unhappy with. And you were going to leave anyway.
I still can't. That can't be the straw that breaks the camel's back.
No, but maybe you're out job hunting and you're miserable at your job as it is. But I do agree with you. It's if you're making good money, if you're making over minimum wage, I don't think you're just going to throw your job to the curb. But according to this poll, and again, 60% say they prefer. Brian, I couldn't tell you. Number one, who the CEO is. Number two, what the CEO of this company thinks. Like, I that's never bothered me. I don't know who the CEO of Bed Bath & Beyond was. I don't know or care what my bosses or the people I work for political opinions are.
Now, there might be a difference here. Because there are some workplaces, especially over the last decade, that have become very political. Would you agree with that?
If you work in the White House, I might agree with this poll.
But there are some businesses that like wear it on their sleeve.
Yes.
That it has become
their identity.
Yes. Their political affiliation has become their identity. And I could see that if now all of a sudden your job has become overly political.
Yeah.
You saying, you know what? I can't do this. Even if, by the way, even if you agreed with the political stance,
right.
I could see you saying, I just can't deal with...
If it's changed your job.
Yeah.
If it changed what you do.
Or the environment you work in, or what everybody's talking about it every minute of the day. I could see that. But that's not really what the question's asking here.
No.
The question is just saying the personal belief of somebody you know or work with, or who the boss is.
Yeah.
And I just don't believe that it's true that many people would up and leave their job over something like that.
And also, is it that important to say your politics at work? Like, I know here I give my opinion. We give our opinions on stuff, Brian. But, like, is it possible at your job, whatever your job is, if your job's not working in the White House or at the Capitol building, is that your, you know, can't you go through the day without bringing up politics? I always like to say this. I did not know my wife's politics until we lived together. It was just not like on the top things that came up in conversation.
I still don't know my wife's. We've been married for 8 years.
Right. It's not a thing of conversation. When my wife and I are talking, which is a lot, we don't have many days going silent. Politics doesn't. We have a lot of other things going on.
Yeah.
Politics just don't come up. Now, she knew mine because she would listen to the shows, but I did not know her politics for a long time.
The person who responds yes to that question is 10 times the child that the Disney adult is.
Yes.
Yeah. and I don't think it's a competition. On the text board, 803-0930, I don't give a you-know-what my boss's political views are as long as my paycheck clears into my checking account every week. Yes, that is the adult attitude of this.
Yeah. I got my politics. Guess what? If I want to talk about it, I'll do it when I go home.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about it in the office. And I don't care if Joe Kelly came in with a Dudes for Kamala Harris hat on tomorrow. Okay, fine. That's his opinion. I don't know why you're wearing that to work, Joe, but, you know, that's his opinion. Whatever. I'm going to go on with my day.
That's the other thing. Like, I don't particularly care if you do talk about it. Whatever. I think it's a little weird if you were to be, and not just in the office, but the all politics all the time guy, which we all know. their lawn, you know, I'm talking, you know, we're sitting here talking about the past few days of people who have 12-foot skeletons and, you know, body bags and everything on the lawn, and it's not even September, but we all know the lawns that are littered with flags and, mm-hmm. you know, they got 15 banners, five yard signs and everything else on there, like that person. I think that's a little weird too, and that's not even touching the workplace. But it doesn't bother me either way. Like, you can still go and have a conversation with somebody. That person can live down the street, and you give them the wave.
Yeah, hey, how's it going?
Either way, if you go walking by.
Yeah, again, talk about what you want to talk about, live your life how you want to live your life. But when you try to make everything like, oh, I spilled the coffee. Ah, you know who spilled the coffee? You know, like when you try to make everything, you know, when you try to make everything political, like that just, it does get annoying. I would never quit my job over it. Like I just, I like my job too much as it is, but I would just never quit
even
my
job. Even
if
you didn't like your job. It's an insane thing to do.
I do think there are people out there that will use it as an that would use it as an excuse for a job they were already thinking about leaving.
If you were going for like a lawsuit or something,
maybe.
You know what I mean? Like that's the one thing I could maybe see, but I don't know.
Yeah,
I think it's crazy.
I do, but I'm not surprised that people think that's how they would act.
Yeah, I would not. Wear any political stuff to the office, Joe. You probably know that. Actually, maybe. I shouldn't say never. If you ran for office,
right?
I'd wear your shirt.
Yeah, would never happen. I'd have to quit my job.
Yeah, that's over politics. we just went through this. How dare me. I would wear this, though. I need to take out a loan. Can you help me out?
Yeah. What's this loan for?
Minimum bid.
Oh no.
Is $25,000.
Okay.
So I don't know how far this is going to go, but let's just say $25,000.
Okay.
Is what I need just to get everything going here. We talked early this morning about the Babe Ruth jersey was the big thing last weekend. There's 400 items from the Beach Boys, Michael Jackson, Elvis Presley, all going up for auction, a big, huge thing. You know, everything could, there's little items on here, there's big items on here. The auction starts this weekend, set to go through. And I'm looking at lot number 30, Joe. It's something I've always wanted. An Elvis Presley gifted diamond and 14 karat gold TCB necklace.
Oh, starts at $25,000?
$25,000 is the minimum bid. Now, this was not Elvis's, but it was one that he gave. Supposedly, 7 of these exist that he gave to people close to him.
Okay.
So it was a gift from the king.
Do we know whose this was?
Yeah, but I didn't read it.
Okay. Was it the Colonel's?
Doesn't matter to me. No, it was not the Colonel's. It did belong to, it was last owned by a guy on the Deadliest Catch boat.
Oh, okay.
And I guess he's giving it up. I've always wanted one of these. And just walking around with a gold TCB hanging from my neck.
And there's 7 available.
There's 7 in the world. Diamonds and gold. I'm not a jewelry guy, but I'm about to be. If I can get a loan. I mean.
Yeah. Don't look at me. But I'm sure you can get a loan.
I won't be buying Bill's bonds. I'm buying this.
Yeah. You got pretty good credit.
What would give you more value? You know, Bill's bonds, you spend, say you buy $25,000 in Bill's bonds and you make back, so 4%, you get like a little under $1,000 back each year for 30 years. So that's a nice, decent return. You get $30,000. In 30 years, do you think this appreciates in value more than $30,000?
Yes. Or I think everything with time, but does the Elvis stuff start going down because, Elvis is further and further removed from... You know what I mean? Does this stuff start going down?
That's what I wonder.
Like when people, no time soon, but when people who can say, I remember seeing Elvis in person.
And quite
there's
frankly,
less of those.
The Elvis's music, it's not holding up as great. Even though I love it, it's not holding up as great as the Beatles, Johnny Cash, people who you know who are going to be around forever and talked about forever. I don't know if Elvis is there.
I think Elvis will be talked about forever. I mean, Elvis, but will his music be...
I don't think people are going to be listening to his music the way they listen to some of the other greats.
That's a tough one. You're right, because I like his music, but I like a lot of stuff I love the Beach Boys, too. I like a lot of music.
There's some stuff here. Some notes.
John Stamos...
I don't think he made the
drums?
Icons
no.
collection here.
Okay.
But could always check. There's a lot of lots to go through. I just stalled on the Elvis Presley TCB pendant.
Well, good luck with that, Brian. I hope you get the... I do think there will be a time where you could pay the loan back and still have a pr- profit from selling this. Does that make sense? I know you want to walk around wearing it.
Yeah.
But you could buy it, get the loan, wait like a decade.
Wear it for 30 years.
Yeah, I don't know 30, though. Like that's a really good question with this stuff.
15 years? Walk around?
Maybe 15.
All right.
I think just the legend of Elvis will always be around, though.
You're in for David next.
Yes.
Got a lot of great stuff coming up.
We do. We're going to talk. I'm going to talk more about this. Also, Brian, going to talk about the big interview that's coming up on Thursday. And back to school. It's really here. I'm going to get you back. I'm going to get you ready back for school. Ready to go back to school. Yes. I'll get my words right when we get back.
Yeah, sounds like he'll do that.
That's a great promo for the show.
Lucas has the news next on WBEN.